You're listening to Finding God's Grace, and this is Tony Agnese with you. My guest is Jeannie Ewing, author, writer, and blogger, and we're talking about Apert syndrome today. Jeannie's blog is Love Alone Creates. Jeannie, how'd you come up with that name?
I was at Mass, I think it was maybe a week after Sarah was born, and it was the first opportunity that my husband and I had to go to Mass by ourselves without the kids. My parents were watching both of our girls for us. And I remember there was a missionary priest, I believe, who was substituting for our pastor. And he was talking about St. Maximilian Kolbe. And this wasn't even around St. Maximilian Kolbe's feast day. So I can't remember the relevance or why he was mentioning him at all. But what stood out to me, and it was almost like a lightning bolt hit me, was when he quoted St. Maximilian Kolbe and said, "Love alone creates, love alone conquers." And that, I don't know, that quote from St. Maximilian Kolbe just lingered with me. It just, I don't know, it just rested somewhere in my soul. And I went home and I remember it was just a clarity I had received in prayer later that same day that I was supposed to name our blog Love Alone Creates. And lo and behold, I look and the domain name was available, and I just felt like it was a fitting name for our journey with Sarah, because I knew that despite the fact that the world looks at Sarah as being deformed or disabled, which I don't see that, I believe that love, God, fashioned her, created her the way she is, perfectly. That was the way that she was meant to be. And so that's why I felt like Love Alone Creates is, I don't know, it was a perfect and a very fitting title for our website.
I have been reading some of your writing as well, Jeannie, and you're a wonderful, wonderful writer. And one of stories that particularly struck me was A Funny Face is a Beautiful Face. Share that story with us, if you would.
Mm-hmm. I was taking... Well, I think I had a doctor's appointment for myself, and I was in our family physician's office in the waiting room. I had both of the girls with me, my older daughter and Sarah, and there was another mom with her preschooler there, and they were waiting as well. And you know how preschoolers are. They're very candid. And so her daughter said, "Mommy, look at that baby. She has a funny face." And I felt so badly for the woman because I could tell she just wanted to crawl under the table. She was just so embarrassed, so humiliated. She said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry." And, you know, honestly, I was kind of waiting for a moment like this to happen because it hadn't happened to me yet. And yet I have met other Apert families who have had experiences like this and actually far worse than that. And so I was actually kind of prepared as to how I would respond. I have these little business cards that a young woman who has Apert syndrome gave me at a craniofacial conference that my family attended this summer. And they're little business cards that basically say, "I have Apert syndrome, this is what it is." And I, on the back of it, I wrote our website. And I just gave it to the mom and I said, "It's okay. You don't have to apologize. I understand how kids at that age are. And it's okay that she's curious about it." And I think that at that point, she or I got called back into the exam room. But I guess what struck me and why I wrote the post that I did was I don't see Sarah having a funny face because I live with her every day. And it doesn't look like an unusual face to me because I'm so used to it. It's actually, her face has become a very beloved, beautiful face to me and to my husband and to everybody that sees her often. And so it kind of took me aback because I realized that people that have never met her, they can tell that there's something different about her, whereas I can't. Sarah is just Sarah to me.
And so to you, the funny face is a beautiful face.
Yep.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Let's talk a little bit about Apert syndrome in the area of diagnosis and treatment. You spoke a little bit earlier in the interview, Jeannie, about the diagnosis that you went through. Let's talk about the treatment. What types of procedures, surgeries, whatever, are recommended, and what would Sarah go through over what period of time?
Sure. generally speaking, there's about 20 to 60 surgeries on average that someone with Apert syndrome will have or undergo in their lifetime. So there's no way for us to know how many surgeries she'll have. She's already had four. I guess I should probably preface all of this by saying that there is no cure for Apert syndrome. So some people initially asked us after her diagnosis, oh, is this something she'll, quote, grow out of? Is this something that she'll have one or two surgeries and everything will be fixed? And I said, no, it's a genetic anomaly. So it's medically defined as autosomal dominant, which means that her birth was a genetic fluke, so to speak, because there's nobody in our family that has Apert. But then if she goes on and gets married and has children, she, of course, then has a 50% chance of passing on that gene to her progeny. So as far as surgeries, main surgeries include cranial reconstruction, facial reconstruction and remodeling. So she has a craniofacial surgeon who's also a plastic surgeon. She has a neurosurgeon, and then she also has an orthopedic surgeon who has been working on her hands and feet to separate the fingers and the toes. Those are very typical, common, like everybody that has Apert has to go through some of those kinds of surgeries. But there are other people with Apert who have it more severely than Sarah does, and then others who have it a little bit more mildly than she does. I like to explain it as kind of a spectrum syndrome where the severity can range from mild to very severe. So, and that includes cognitively. So some kids that have Apert grow up and they live very typical adult lives. Our family actually met several adults with Apert syndrome who are very successful people. Some of them have college degrees, PhDs, you live on their own. Some of them are married and have families. They just look different. Whereas there are other people with Apert syndrome who maybe are very low functioning cognitively. They might need 24/7 medical care for the rest of their lives. So Sarah is looking at this point, her cognitive prognosis looks pretty much on target for her age. She's a pretty sharp little girl. She's very verbal. But as far as all of the surgeries she will undergo in her life, we don't know how many there will be because new things develop all the time with Apert.
Now, are these surgeries gradual over time?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So her first surgery was called a cranial vault reconstruction, and that was done at Riley Hospital in Indianapolis. And that's where her neuro and craniofacial surgeons separated the fused plates in her skull. They opened them up so that her brain would have room to grow. And she will have something called a LaFort 3, a mid-face advancement. That's a much more complicated craniofacial surgery in which she'll have what they call a RED or a halo device that's going to be attached at different points in her face with it's a distraction device. So there are pins that have to be turned to adjust the face, the facial bones. That's a pretty risky surgery, but everybody that has Apert syndrome or some other form of craniosynostosis that's like that, they have to go through it. So those are the major ones, and then orthopedic surgeries, like I said, for her hands and feet. Some people with Apert have to have dental surgeries and cardiovascular surgeries, gastrointestinal surgeries. I mean, it just depends on what systems in their body are affected at that time that they need those surgeries.
Is there a support group for Apert that people who have been through this a few years ago can offer some help, some advice, some encouragement?
Yes. I wish I had known this when Sarah was born. I had to kind of find all this on my own through research. There is a website called apert.org. That's a really good resource. There is a nonprofit called Children's Craniofacial Association. They are in Dallas, Texas. They are excellent as far as they're really good with the consumer who has the craniofacial condition, but they also provide a lot of support for the families. They offer financial support if families have to travel for surgeries. They can apply for scholarships to help supplement the cost of lodging and food and travel expenses. They actually helped our family with the first major surgery that Sarah had. They also have an annual family retreat that includes an educational symposium. And we were able to attend that this year as a family because we received a grant through the state of Indiana to do that. And it was so beneficial psychologically and socially, and just it was so refreshing to be with other people that are in different phases of their own journey with their kids that have APERT or similar conditions. Also on Facebook, there are a couple of groups that I join. One is called APERT USA. Another is called APERT Syndrome Awareness. There is another APERT mom that I have met through the APERT Syndrome Awareness group on Facebook. She is she lives in Israel. Her son is 8 years old and has APERT syndrome. And actually, she started a really, really amazing webinar community, I guess, through rareconnect.org. And so she facilitates several different webinars that have different topics that people all over the world can watch. And they cover things that are not typically covered by a medical community when you're talking to surgeons or medical specialists about your child's syndrome. So Tanya is her name. She comes up with a lot of different educators or psychologists, or she's even talked to people about estate planning because it's unknown as to the prognosis of people that have APERT. There's not a lot of statistics about how they die, when they die, how long their lifespan will be. And so it's just, those are some of the resources I would mention that have been beneficial to our family.
Jeannie Ewing is my guest. Jeannie, we have just about a minute left. I know you're working on a new project. Give us a little bit about that, and maybe we can have you back on the show to discuss that at some point.
Sure. I'm actually working on a book called From Grief to Grace, and I do have a website by that name that I'm building, so it's not completely live yet. And I'm also working on becoming a grief recovery coach. And so in the book, though, I hope to express parts of our journey, but relate it to how other people can navigate their own grief and understand redemptive suffering and the dark night of the soul, St. John of the Cross's spirituality, accepting mysteries in life, finding peace and finding joy in their sorrows.
Jeannie, I want to thank you so much for being with me. I certainly hope that some people know a little bit more about APERT syndrome, and maybe you've been able to help some other people as well who may have their own stories. Jeannie's website, Love Alone Creates, you can also read her on CatholicMom.com and Catholic Exchange, and she's available on Facebook and Twitter and all the other social media sites as well. Jeannie Ewing, thank you so much for being with us on Finding God's Grace.